Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. This week, a socialist sweep in New York, a Trump passport that broke the internet, and a military flu outbreak nobody on the right wanted to cover. Plus, Starmer is apparently almost out in the UK, and somehow that story ate the Iran war coverage whole. Let's get into it.
Big week. Like, genuinely big.
Prediction markets were screaming this week, and I have numbers. So many numbers.
You always have numbers. Okay, story one. NYC primaries. Strategist, set it up.
Three DSA candidates. All backed by Zohran Mamdani. All won. One of them knocked off Adriano Espaillat in NY13.
And Claire Valdez beat a Hakeem Jeffries pick. That's not nothing. That's the House Minority Leader getting embarrassed.
On his home turf. In New York City.
How did outlets frame it?
Left outlets led with the movement angle. Rebuke of the establishment. Grassroots energy. Right outlets went straight to Mike Johnson's Communism on Our Shores line.
Which is a choice.
It's a very loaded frame. Communism versus Democratic primary winners. Those are completely different stories.
Same election, two different countries.
And here's what's funny. The data on this is actually kind of fascinating. 20 sources covered the Mamdani sweep, but the Jeffries backlash angle?
Wait, which backlash?
After the primaries, Jeffries pivoted, started embracing the winners he'd just tried to beat, and the left barely covered it.
That's the blind spot forecaster flagged, right? Left outlets going soft on Jeffries?
It's listed as a left blind spot this week. The story was right there, and they walked past it.
Okay, that's interesting. Strategist, why? Why would left outlets protect Jeffries in that moment?
Because the coalition is fragile. You don't want to write the Democrats in disarray story when the socialists just won.
But that is the story, though.
I know it is. But editorially, it's complicated when your readers are celebrating.
Right. Okay, let's talk Khanna versus Musk, because this one is genuinely weird.
Only two outlets covered it. Two.
CNBC got the debate challenge. Fox got the lawsuit threat. Perfect split.
Which is almost too clean. Same exchange. CNBC frames Khanna as holding power accountable. Fox frames Musk as defending himself legally.
And the underlying story? USAID cuts, children losing aid, got zero oxygen.
The actual policy consequence disappeared inside the celebrity beef.
Musk threatened to sue a congressman. That's the headline. And we got debate challenge drama.
Technically both true. Technically, both sidestep the thing that matters.
Okay, housing bill. Strategist, this felt like it got weirdly little coverage for the largest housing affordability bill in decades.
Because bipartisan good news is editorially boring? Readers don't click, Senate agrees on something.
Wait, but hold on. It passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. That's actually news.
It is news. But it's not conflict news. And conflict is what drives traffic.
The private equity provision is interesting, though. That's a real political fight.
CNBC flagged it. That provision alone could reshape institutional housing investment. And it's in a Trump-era bill.
Which is why nobody quite knows how to frame it.
Nobody wants to give the other side credit.
So they just don't cover it much. That's the game.
All right, blind spot segment. Forecaster. This week was rough.
Okay, so. Right side blind spots this week. Serbia's Vucic resigning amid student protests. Russia's offensive in eastern Ukraine, thousands fleeing Donbass. Kentucky flooding, four dead, governor declared emergency. And a Utah wildfire at 92,000 acres.
Four dead in Kentucky. 92,000 acres burning in Utah.
And right outlets mostly didn't.
Correct. Didn't.
Strategist, is there an editorial logic to skipping a wildfire and a flood?
Wildfires read as climate story. Floods read as FEMA story. Both are uncomfortable for an audience that's skeptical of federal emergency response and climate science.
But people died in Kentucky this week.
I know. The editorial logic isn't good logic. It's just audience management.
And the Venezuela earthquake. 920 dead, 51,000 missing. That was also a right-side blind spot.
51,000 missing. That number is staggering.
Al Jazeera had the best coverage. NPR and CNBC reported rescue workers saying no official help had arrived in some neighborhoods.
And Maduro's government is in the middle of it, which you'd think the right would want to cover.
Right? A socialist government fumbling a disaster response. That's practically an op-ed waiting to happen.
And they passed on it. Wild.
Wild. Okay, military flu outbreak. This one made me angry.
275 cases, Lackland Air Force Base, recruits. Hegseth lifted the flu vaccine mandate in April. Individual branches are now reinstating their own requirements to work around him.
The New York Times reported military officials saw this coming within weeks of the April order.
They anticipated it. They tried to fix it. And it happened anyway.
Right side blind spot. Completely.
The frame that works against covering it is individual choice, vaccine skepticism, Hegseth doing what the base wants. You don't criticize your own.
Even when recruits are getting sick at a military base.
275 of them that we know about.
Yeah, that's a real cost, not a hypothetical one.
All right, forecaster, you've been sitting on the Starmer stuff. Let's go.
Okay, so prediction markets this week were basically a countdown timer on Keir Starmer's political life.
Walk us through the numbers.
Starmer out by June 22, 77.5%. Out by June 23, 90%. Out by the 24th, 90.5%. By the 26th, 91%. These all swung 6 to 12 points in a single week.
The market has basically called it.
18 sources covered Starmer resigning and Andy Burnham emerging as successor. 18. That's a massive story.
And it's eating the Iran war coverage. We should talk about that.
Because those two narratives are running together in a way that's editorially messy.
28 sources on U.S. strikes on Iran, 27 on a second Iran strike story, and then 18 on Starmer, all in the same week.
Three massive international stories running simultaneously.
And they're connected. Starmer's resignation is partly downstream of UK involvement in the Iran situation, but most outlets are treating them as separate tracks.
Which means readers are getting fragments. They're not getting the full picture.
The full picture being a US-led Iran conflict just destabilized a NATO ally's government.
That's the story. And it's being told in pieces.
Also, the U.S.-Iran oil sanctions easing story, 16 sources, while we're also striking Iran militarily.
We're bombing them and lifting sanctions simultaneously?
Apparently. The money is reading both signals at once, and I think the market is just confused.
That's actually a really important framing point. The administration is running a hard power and soft power Iran track at the same time.
And outlets are covering whichever one fits their preferred narrative.
Exactly. Hawks cover the strikes, dealmakers cover the sanctions relief. Nobody writes the story that holds both.
Now, the Lebanon framework. US, Israel, Lebanon announcing a deal. Hezbollah immediately rejected it. Forecaster, did the market move on that?
No significant divergence on the Lebanon deal specifically. Two outlets covered it. The Hill framed it as boxing out Iran. Al Jazeera covered the Hezbollah rejection from Beirut.
Two completely different stories. Strategic win versus deal already dead on arrival.
Which one is right?
Well, Hezbollah isn't a signatory, so.
So the deal that boxes out Iran is being rejected by the group it's supposed to contain. Yeah.
Good deal. Great deal.
Tremendous framework. Very stable.
Rapid fire, Trump Patriot passport, go.
Limited edition, 40,000 copies. Trump's photo on the cover, gold coin too. Available July 6th by in-person application only.
His photo on a federal travel document.
Democrats called it authoritarian propaganda. The Guardian had that.
And supporters loved it, which is the point.
It's a commemorative item for the 250th anniversary. But the framing as Patriot passport with a presidential portrait is doing a lot of symbolic work.
It's a collector's item that happens to be a government document. Rapid fire 2, Serbia.
Vučić resigned. Student-led protests. Right side blind spot. Completely ignored.
A European head of state resigning under protest pressure, and it barely registered on American right media.
Because Vučić was complicated for the right's preferred narrative on Europe.
He was friendly to Trump-aligned figures, but also cozy with Russia. Hard to eulogize.
So they just didn't.
Rapid fire 3. Stock market sell-off. Tech leading down. Forecaster.
Leverage built up during the rally is unwinding. A top economist found the richest 20% of Americans drive all consumer spending. Their spending tracks stock prices. Prices go down.
Spending contracts. And then the whole economy
feels it. Yes. Seeking Alpha floated the historic bubble scenario.
That's the number that should scare people. All consumer spending, top 20%, full stop.
It's a structural vulnerability that nobody wants to say out loud because it sounds like class analysis.
It is class analysis. It's also just math.
Okay. What to watch next week? Strategist, you first.
The housing bill going to Trump's desk. Does he sign it? The private equity provision is going to generate a lot of quiet lobbying pressure.
Good one. I'm watching the Starmer succession. Burnham is the name, but the markets haven't fully priced in who actually gets it.
And the Iran dual track, sanctions easing and military strikes. Something has to give. Watch for which story outlets decide to tell when it does.
Because they can't both be true for much longer.
The money agrees with you on that, editor. Something resolves soon.
All right, that's the week. Media plays narratives, markets play probabilities. We try to show you both. Read the full breakdown with sourcing, framing data, and blind spot analysis at s2n.news. See you next week.